Happy Wednesday, everybody. Thank you so much for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. Let's make this a great week, and we're going to kick it off with an awesome trip report from James. But first, a word from our sponsors, and that includes our friends over at thewisdomofwalt.com. We've got a great idea for grads and dads. Those days are coming up soon. It is graduation season, both high school and college. And of course, Father's Day is just around the corner. We just wrapped up Mother's Day. A great gift for that Disney fan in your life would be one of the great books, either Beyond the Wisdom of Walt, the new book by author Jeff Barnes about Walt Disney World, and the original, The Wisdom of Walt. So check out these great books. You can get them in audio version. You can also get a hard copy signed by author Jeff Barnes. And you can even get books that you can read right there on your digital device. Check out all the great details and surprise that grad or dad in your life over at thewisdomofwalt.com. Save time and money on your next Walt Disney World, Disneyland, or Universal vacation with our friends over at touringplans.com, the official website for the unofficial guide to Walt Disney World. They have the trip planning tools to show you the least crowded park to visit every day, customized touring plans for visiting Disney's best rides, honest restaurant reviews, how to save on Disney tickets, the best hotel rooms to ask for, and so much more. For the price of a couple of buckets of popcorn on Main Street USA, you're going to get 365 days of great information to make your next vacation awesome. Check them out today over at touringplans.com.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1328 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. Happy Monday to you, and hope all the moms out there had a great Mother's Day yesterday. Or if you're downloading this early, like Andrew, at the 28.2 seconds after it releases late on a Sunday night, it's still Mother's Day, so enjoy the rest of your evening. We are going to kick off another week here in May. It's a beautiful time of the year. We're going to have a great time with the trip report. James is joining us from up in Minnesota. James, how's it going?
I'm wonderful, Mike. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm glad to see that your Minnesota Twins have left St. Louis because they were not kind to us last week. And we'll be up in the Twin Cities this week. So hopefully we'll do a little better up north.
Well, that's wonderful. All right. I took my son to a game the other day, and it was just, we had a blast, and we need to do more of those. So
yeah, I let Mallory skip school. We surprised her, 12 o'clock game, $6 tickets on StubHub. Boom. It's like a MasterCard commercial. So
that's awesome.
And I'm still sporting the horrible sunburn, but that's, dads don't remember everything. I forgot sunscreen, so can't
I forget that all the time.
It's terrible. All right, anyway, well, let's talk about your recent trip. That's why we're here. People love kicking off the week with a trip report going down to Walt Disney World. You stayed at two of my favorite resorts, but first, when did you go, who'd you go with, and what was the celebration?
So we left on Sunday the 22nd, and me and my wife flew down for our 10-year anniversary with no kids. So last year, we went for our 9-year anniversary with no kids, and we're like, we'll do this in, two or three more years. And then we just planned it out, and we decided to go the next year, and it was wonderful.
That's awesome. And congratulations on 10 years, because that was just a few weeks back. You were actually arriving the day I was leaving. We might have crossed paths at the airport there. I was on a delay. Wouldn't even have known it. But talk to me about how you plan a trip, because you've been to Walt Disney World many times. What goes into your planning? What kind of a planner are you?
I like to eat, but my wife is the huge, huge planner. And so we'll start planning a trip about 250 days in advance. We'll get down to the 180 mark, have all of our dining reservations ready to go. And then she has all of her folders with all of our trips planned and all that. And then we'll hear new information and we'll keep changing our reservations, and even sometimes the week before, there's never a perfect trip, or the planning never stops. We'll just put it that way. So we're huge planners, and it's one of our favorite, it's pretty much our favorite pastime. So
you guys do it together, though. That's kind of cool, because I know a lot of, you know, folks where one person in the couple is the big Disney fan and they take care of everything. It's kind of like it is in my family. You know, I take care of everything. My wife appreciates and loves going to Walt Disney World, but she doesn't even have the My Disney Experience app on her phone. You know, she just likes to go and experience it, but she's not a planner. So it seems like that's something that brings you guys together and gives you something to do all throughout the year.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we talk about upcoming trips nightly, and it's just, it's so wonderful to do as a couple together. So,
all right.
We enjoy it.
Well, cool. Well, let's talk about you guys stayed at Riverside and Boardwalk. You know, a great combo. Two of my favorite places to stay. Riverside, probably my favorite overall resort for everything, value, theme, location, just amenities. I love it. But I fell in love with Boardwalk a couple years ago, staying in the Epcot Resort area. So why did you choose these two resorts? What made you land at these places?
So last year, my wife went down with a friend, and they stayed at Riverside. They went off pretty much your recommendation. They've always heard wonderful things from you about Riverside, and then they booked a trip, and then she fell in love with it. And she's like, we have to go back. So when the annual pass discounts came out, we actually stayed in a royal room, which made our six-year-old daughter very jealous. And that was just fantastic. It was really good price. And so, so we chose Riverside, and I absolutely fell in love with the resort as well. And it's like, it's in my top favorites now too. And for the price point, it's the best value in all of Disney World. So
nice. I like it. We're getting folks converting over to Riverside. I love it. Cause Pam Forrester, it's not her thing. I'm still trying to win her over, but I know we all have a different thing. So I'm not a California Grill guy. So we're going to have to butt heads there, but, okay. So we're going to talk about that in just a minute, but, actually, so what were your first impressions of Riverside? You know, your wife had been, she was sold on it. She was excited for it. What do you remember about, you know, arrival and first thoughts for somebody that's never been there and experienced it?
Right. As soon as I walked in the lobby, I was like, this is home. Like, I just felt so relaxed and just was just stunning. And I just felt like I was home. So, and then with the water right there, and we stayed really close to the main lobby. It was only about a 5-minute walk or so. And it was just incredibly beautiful. So, was it the Mongolia Suites or the, forget which?
Oh, yeah. Magnolia Bend. Yeah. Where all the mansions are.
Yeah, so we stayed in those, and it was just absolutely fantastic. So
yeah, it's one of those things, too. I don't think people realize it. It's a little bit different from French Quarter in that the Sasagula River, which is this man-made waterway, which is very beautiful, it has its really unique shade of brown. It's kind of hard to describe until you see it. But it really literally cuts right through Riverside. For example, you know, the food court and the main check-in area is on one side of the river, and you got to cross bridges to get to where the rooms are, which is kind of a unique thing where down at French Quarter, the Sasagula River just kind of goes around the back of the resort. You never have a need to cross it because there's a golf course at that end. But it's one of those things that, you know, Disney was so smart when they, I think, when they developed Riverside that By having you go across these bridges, it just has this really unique rustic feel. I love that. And it sounds like you felt that kind of in the theme too.
Absolutely. I mean, I think it's as themed as a deluxe. And like, we were in the process of, we're DVC members, so we were in the process of buying another DVC contract for Animal Kingdom because we love it there too. And then, like, now that I've stayed Riverside, I was like, okay, let's just pause and let's not move on that. Like, let's even hold off on that for years just because I want to stay here more often just compared to anywhere else. So
let me ask you this, too, because you guys were only there for 3 nights, right? So was that a challenge in your planning, or is this something you do quite often? Because I know, like, when I go down for race weekends, they go so quickly that sometimes I struggle with, you know, like we're going down for 13 days this summer. So that's like, that's my jam.
That's
you know what I'm saying? Like I can relax. I can, you know, we can get to everything we need to get to. Those weekends are hard, but I mean, it sounds like you guys had a goal of what you wanted to get done. And, you know, and it sounds like it was fun for you guys.
Yeah. So, so with my work schedule, I have to be, I'm a house cleaner and office cleaner, so I have to be at home on the weekend, one day during the weekend so I can do clean offices, and then I have to be home on Wednesdays to clean offices again. So all of our trips are always either from Saturday night or Sunday morning to Wednesday afternoon. So we, you know, I go, you know, 5-6 times a year, but only 3-day trips. So
you're probably good at that, though. I mean, what advice do you have for somebody going that it's for a shorter trip, but you still want to maximize? Because, I mean, it's hard to say you have time to relax and you still have time to see everything you want to see. I guess maybe going multiple times throughout the year like that, you have to kind of compartmentalize what you're looking for on that particular trip.
Mm-hmm. And then this year we felt like all of our other trips were run, run, run. And then this one was like, ooh, we can actually like relax and just enjoy it more just because how often we've started to go. And when we got into Boardwalk, we just sat in the room for a while and, you know, overlooked the lake there. And you can see Epcot Ball in the Spaceship Earth in the background, and it was just like relaxing. We're like, we don't have to like rush out right away and do everything we need to do. So I would say lots of planning and lots of listening to your podcast is wonderful advice to anyone.
All right, we appreciate that. It's hard though. It's hard when you get down there to kind of relax and chill out. I mean I can tell you right now, sitting here in mid-May, that I'm going to have a challenge, even with a 13-day stay, to take time to just swim, you know, and to take time just to sit on a bench, you know, because I'm antsy like that, even though my problem is, and it sounds like you did this during this trip. And when you do that, you're like, man, I need to do more of this relaxing and not running around because it's some of the best times. But it's again, I get down there and I'm like, oh, I got to go. I hate that.
Yep. And at Disney, it's like time is money, and you know, you spent all this money, and then it's like, you know, how do I save time? And, you know,
It's a tough thing. That's exactly it. So tell me about Boardwalk. You guys went over there and spent one night over there. You guys are DVC. Do you ever stay at Boardwalk Villas, or was this your first experience there?
So last year we stayed for our anniversary trip. Last year we stayed three nights at Boardwalk. We did one night at Pop last year. And so we wanted one night at Boardwalk so that we could spend all day at Epcot and just walk back to our room and then not have to worry about transportation. So we're like, let's just book one night. It was available, so we booked a studio and with the lake view or boardwalk view, and it was absolutely fantastic, except for the flock at 2 a.m. But besides that, it was everything we could hope for. So
yeah, I've heard that. I've only stayed at Boardwalk once, and we just had a standard view, so we were kind of off down by, you know, one of the inns. We weren't even, you know, didn't have a view of anything. I wish I would have. But yeah, I've heard that there can be some noise off the boardwalk. But man, what I'm sure that was just an amazing view right out your window.
At night when Spaceship Earth is lit up and you can see it, it's just like, we just sat out there with, you know, a couple different times and just looked at it just because it was just absolutely awesome.
I'm glad that worked out for you guys, because we're doing the same thing, because we always go to Epcot for the 4th of July. And typically we're staying, you know, somewhere where you got to catch a bus afterward with the, you know, the rest of the world. And last year I had to ride. I begged Ricky. She had a car. I'm like, Ricky, I don't want to wait in the bus lines. You know, take my family back to Pop Century. And she almost killed us in the car. So this time we're staying at Yacht Club, so I don't have to take my life in my hands. I can go out the International Gateway and just walk back to the room. So see, thank
you.
It
works so well. Then next year, are you guys planning on going down for the cruise? Are you going to be at the World for the 4th of July?
After the cruise, I will be there for the 4th of July, yes.
Okay, so we're planning on being there for that, because we decided not to do the cruise, and we're just going to come down and meet you guys, and then we're planning either doing, you know, going in a beach club or boardwalk just for those, like, two nights, just so we don't have to walk back from 4th of July fireworks. So.
And just, you know, pro tip there, Yacht Club a lot of times will have some really, really good deals. Book them early because people, again, like we're doing right here, I do the same thing. I think a beach club, I think a boardwalk, and Yacht Club kind of gets overlooked. But you know what? If you're going down and you want proximity to Epcot, you can get a good deal. And a lot of times they have AP discounts and other discounts that maybe are not available at those other two.
Yeah, absolutely.
So think about that. All right, so to talk to us about your time in the parks. You know, you went down there, you're relaxed, but I'm sure you did visit the parks. So what were some of the memories that are still sticking out, you know, a few weeks later?
So, yeah, Sunday night when we got in around 5:30, and then we got back to our room, we went to Disney Springs. And then when we got done with Disney Springs, we went to Magic Kingdom. We got to Magic Kingdom around 10:20, and they had extra magic hours till midnight that night. And it had rained a little bit, and, you know, as soon as we got there, it pretty much stopped raining, and the park was just empty, and the rain, like, scattered everyone out, and it was just, it was peaceful, and it, like, all of the rides we went on were pretty much walk on rides and didn't have to wait at all. And then we, I think, can't remember what time we actually left there, around midnight, but it was just, it was dead, and it was like a ticketed event. Or when you do the Disney after hours parties or stuff where you pay $100 for, it just felt like that kind of night. So it was pretty great.
That's a good kickoff there. And that's, you know what, that's a great, another pro tip is that when you have rain, you know, especially in the evening, if you get a good shower for, say, an hour, people are going to clear out. They're just going to call it a day. They're going to be like, you know what, my feet are wet, my sneakers are wet, let's just go back to the hotel and call it a day. Where if you've avoided that rain and you're still back at your hotel, or, you know, like you said, you did Disney Springs and there are extra magic hours, head that direction, because that is awesome. That's solid gold. That sounds like those e-ticket nights or e-ride nights they had way back in the 90s. I love those.
Yeah, I mean, we had our ponchos on, so it's like, you know, we don't mind getting wet if we have our ponchos on. So then, you know, as soon as we got in, we just saw the tons of people leaving, and it was pretty perfect. So,
all right, so what'd you guys do that the next day?
So the next day, there was extra magic hours at Animal Kingdom, and so the park, we got to the park, we got the park probably right around open at 8 o'clock, and so my wife is like you, and well, she gets motion sickness, but she absolutely does not like flights of passage. And so we had like a 9 o'clock flights of passage fast pass for me and a 9 o'clock river journey for her. So we got in and we went straight back to Safari, and we got her back there around 8:20 or so. And the safari was the best we've ever seen it. The animals were, you know, up and at them, and giraffes right next to our truck, and it was pretty awesome. And then once we got done with the safari, we headed back towards Everest and rode that ride. And then after that, we went back to into Pandora, and I rode Flights of Passage and she rode River Journey, and that's my absolute favorite ride. I think I like it more than skydiving. It's just so much fun.
I don't think I could skydive myself either. I'm just now getting used to getting in planes. There's no way I'm jumping
out of
one yet.
Yes. So, and then once we got done there, we went down to Satuli Canteen and ate, you know, breakfast, lunch, and it was, that's now my, pretty much my official favorite quick service meal.
Oh, me too. That's so good. It's so good.
It truly is. So, and then my other favorite quick service meal on a side note is at Art of Animation, the build your own pasta. If you ever get a chance to do that, that's incredible as well.
My wife did that. We were staying at Pop Century. We walked over there one night, but they also have a mac and cheese that's almost like my grandma used to make. No kidding. I will walk over there to get that. It's that good.
Yeah, we actually plan trips to Pop so that we can walk over to Art of Animation and just eat there. So it works. And then once we got done with lunch, then we headed back up to Magic Kingdom, and we got up there around, I'd say, noon. And I can't remember what rides we did, but I was kind of tired. And I asked Brenda, my wife, I'm like, hey, dear, do you want to go do your favorite ride, which is Carousel of Progress, which means I sleep and she loves the ride. And she absolutely hates me for wanting to do that. But so she's like, of course I want to go, you know, go see the show. And like, as soon as we got in there, I took a nap and I was set to go for the rest of the day.
That's a good marriage right there. I'm telling you, it took you 10 years to figure that out. That's how you stay together.
Absolutely. And then she took a mean, angry picture with me just sleeping. It's pretty awesome. So
that's awesome. So now that kept you from having to go back to the hotel, though. You could just take a nap in the park and just, you're fired up. You get your second wind.
Right. It works out wonderful. So, and then after that, we were People Mover. And she wanted to see which direction is the best way to, you know, either forward or backwards and see the best views. And we were going to ride it twice back to back to see which way is the best way, but we only rode it facing forward, and we're like, this way is definitely the best way, and we didn't ride it again. But oh yeah, and then it was also raining that day, so it was raining off and on, and we had our ponchos on. We went and rode Big Thunder, and they were talking about possibly closing due to lightning, but it didn't. And then we rode Big Thunder, and then when we got off the Splash Mountain, and at the time it wasn't raining, so we are in Splash Mountain and going through, and then when we get up right before the drop, you see outside and it's beyond words torrential downpour. And we're like, we were afraid of getting wet, of course, because the drop. And then it's like, oh, there's nothing we can do. So we just burst out laughing, and then the ride kind of got, you know, slowed down, and then we just got drenched out there. And that was absolutely, it was hilarious. So
sometimes you got to dance in the rain, you know.
Absolutely. And then after that, we put on our put the ponchos back on, and then we were waiting to the other parade, or the rain parade or something.
Oh yeah, the rainy day cavalcade.
Yes. So my wife always wants to see that, or hasn't seen it, but wants to see it someday. But then they didn't do it, and then the parade got delayed and delayed, and so. And then we think after that we went back over, and we either rode Buzz one more time, and then a couple of my friends were in the parks. They have a vlog, the WDW couple, and they just hit 10,000 subscribers the other day. So I messaged them and said, you know, can we meet to say hi? And so then we went and met them. And then after that, we went to dinner at California Grill. So,
well, let's switch it up here and talk some of your meals, because you guys went to California Grill. Pam Forrester's favorite place to eat at Walt Disney World, bar none. What are your thoughts on that restaurant?
That is, I used to always say, like, Ohana's my favorite restaurant, and I love Ohana. And then last year we had brunch at California Grill, and that then became my favorite meal all around. But dinner at Cali Grill was my new favorite meal, and it took number one spot. So
is it everything combined, like the location, the view, the food, the service? Is it kind of everything all together?
Yep, absolutely. I mean, we were on the deluxe dining plan, which was absolutely awesome. And so I had an appetizer of sushi, and then I had the filet and tiramisu or creme brulee for dessert. And the service was fantastic. They put us in this back room, which I didn't even know really existed, but facing not the Magic Kingdom, we could see Epcot. And it was like really peaceful back there and not as loud as California Grill can sometimes get. And overall, it was just absolutely perfect. So
I got to get there. Yeah, it's one of those things, like it's expensive, you know, and my family wouldn't enjoy it. I know the rest of my family, I probably would, but I'm also just as happy going to Trails Inn. So, I'm just one of those people, why spend the extra money? You mentioned you're on the deluxe dining plan. You said you enjoyed that. So what were your thoughts going in using the deluxe plan, and any advice for anybody that's thinking about going, you know, upgrading from the standard Disney dining plan up to deluxe? What'd you learn?
So it's a lot of food, but it's totally worth it, I feel. You know, you get the drink now, and then you get the appetizer, the main entree, and the dessert. So you just got to pace yourself. And even though I can eat a lot, sometimes I just purposely didn't eat all my food just because it was just too much. So, but the nice thing was, since we stayed two nights at Boardwalk, we had two nights of the dining plan. And then our third night when we stayed, or two nights at Riverside, but our third night when we stayed at Boardwalk, we didn't have the dining plan. So those credits carried over to Tuesday. And then, so that's a nice way to have the dining plan spread out a little bit. So
interesting. Some other interesting places. A couple other I want to talk about that we don't speak about often on the show. Tokyo Dining. I've gone to, oh my gosh, the name escapes me.
Yes, that place.
The hibachi place. Oh, I can't believe I can't remember it right now. I go there all the time. But Tokyo Dining, you know, you pass right by it. It looks very elegant. It looks a lot of fun. Never eaten there ever. I want to. So what was that like?
So that was interesting. So we had reservations for La Hacienda at 6:10 that day. But we were so full from eating previously that day that we're just like, actually, it's because of Ample Hills is the reason we were so full. Oh my gosh. So we'll talk about that in a little bit. But yeah, so we were like, it was 8:20 and we're getting sort of hungry, but we have our dining credit we have to use by the end of the night. And we're like, you know, what's available? And so I check the app and I'm like, there's an 8:20 at Tokyo Dining. And we're like, we've never heard anyone ever say anything about Tokyo Dining ever. Like, I've never, you know, in all the 2 years of listening to podcasts, I've never heard anything positive or negative about it. And so we're like, let's try it. So we ended up trying it and it was surprisingly delightful. Like, the service was fantastic. The food was great. The prices, we weren't on the dining plan, were extremely reasonable. And the whole experience was wonderful.
I'm going to have to do that.
We didn't even think about it, but, you know, we had, and then Illuminations starts at 9 o'clock and we were pretty close and we got to see Illuminations from there too. And so I highly recommend it. So
I'm there. Because every time I walk by there, it's Teppanito, by the way. I can't believe I forgot Teppanito. I love it. I love my Japanese food. But yeah, I walk by there and I'm like, this place looks so cool. And every time, like, we're going to do this next time. And then what do I book? Teppanito. You know, it's like, right? I'm such a creature of habit. I got to get out of that. That's one of my downfalls.
Yeah. So I had, they had rack of lamb and it was absolutely fantastic. And I had a Japanese beer and I've never had Japanese beer before, but it was good. So.
All right.
Yeah. And then the calamari was good as well. So
awesome. Well, one other place I want to talk about that you ate was, and I guess you did this the first time we guys went over to Disney Springs, Homecoming. You know, of course, I'm a big fan. Pam's a big fan. What were your thoughts there? Because there's still a lot of folks who haven't had the chance to experience Art Smith restaurant there.
That was one of my favorite experiences ever. Like, from now on, most of our trips are going to include Homecoming and Cali Grill, but Homecoming for sure. So, yeah, that place is outstanding. So we had, for the appetizers, we had the thigh-high, like, chicken biscuits. And those were the most amazing appetizers I've ever had. Like, they're my new favorite appetizer on all property. And they're, you know, biscuits with chicken thighs. And it has this warm honey and sauce with a little bit of hot sauce on it. And it's just... it was outstanding. So, and then we also had the shrimp cocktail and that was good as well. But, and then I had the chicken, but I didn't finish all the chicken cause I was so full from everything else. And the hummingbird cake was outstanding as well. So
yeah, that is good.
Highly recommended. It's probably in my top 3 to 4 favorite restaurants behind Cali Grill, Ohana, and now Homecoming, I'd say.
Yeah, it's one of those things that initially, before I'd gone there, I thought this place is new and it's all the hotness and it's overhyped, you know, because I think as Disney fans, we do that from time to time. We overhype things. Like, I think we like it because everybody else likes it. And I was like, I'll go there. I mean, Southern food, you know, I love Southern food. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is so good. So yeah, you're exactly right on. So I agree.
Yep. So, and then the drinks there are also fantastic. And then the manager, Alex, he was the manager on duty. He like came around and he talked to us for a while. And then he saw that we were celebrating our 10-year anniversary. And so then he gave us another round of drinks for free. And then he gave us his card and said, if you ever need reservations, just email me and I'll get you in. And so, you know, it was fantastic. So we definitely tweeted WW and gave him a cast compliment just because he was outstanding. So
that's good to hear. I love when people give us cast compliments. And yeah, don't lose that card because that's golden, man. That is golden.
I know, right? It's in my pocket right now.
Don't lose it. That's it. Get it.
I took a picture of it.
Exactly. Put that on the cloud. Do something. Yeah, that's awesome. Now, I had never had moonshine until there. And people say that it's not real moonshine. I've heard people tell me it's not real moonshine if they serve it at Homecoming. But the stuff I had was, it was hot because I don't drink very much. So, but I enjoyed it.
I had the watermelon something, and it was absolutely fantastic. So
interesting. All right. So you mentioned you guys went to Ample Hills. So as we kind of this trip to a close there, give us some thoughts on things you did outside the parks, like going to Ample Hills and just things you did kind of impromptu.
So, yeah, we got done with Le Cellier, which I would never pay there out of pocket. And compared to Cali Grill was a huge disappointment, but the food was good, service was okay. It's just, it was overrated for us personally. So we got done with there and we're like, okay, well, we just got the room text to go to Boardwalk. You know, our room's open. So let's head over there. And then we stopped at Ample Hills, and that ooey gooey buttercream or whatever that is deliciousness was just, I had a cup of that with the peanut butter ice cream, and that was amazing. And my wife had the peanut butter on a cookie sandwich with M&Ms on it, and that was her new favorite dessert on property. And so now every trip we're gonna have to go there too. So
I can't wait. That's one. It's so sad. That's one of the things I'm looking forward to most about getting back to Walt Disney World in in July is to go to an ice cream shop. But literally, it is, because it is that good. And I know folks on the northeast corridor apparently have Ample Hills creameries in their neighborhoods. But that's definitely,
that's not fair.
I kind of like that it isn't, because I love when I can go to Walt Disney World and have things I can only get there. It keeps them special. Like, I can't have a chicken and waffle sandwich here. I could probably find one in St. Louis, but I don't, because it's special. It's something I look forward to every year. So I think there's something good to keeping things unique to Walt Disney World.
Absolutely. It was, I mean, last year we went to, you know, across over the way. Now I can't think of that name. And got the No Way Jose, the other ice cream at Boardwalk.
Oh, yeah, over at Beaches and Cream.
Yes, so we got the No Way Jose, and like, we were like, this is amazing. And then I found a recipe on Pinterest and made it at home, and then it lost its magic. Like, this tasted the same, and I'm like, well, now I don't need to go to Beaches and Cream anymore. So yeah, I see. Yeah, if you have it too much, it's not a, or, but yeah, Ample Hills was absolutely amazing. So,
well, it definitely sounds like this was an amazing trip. I mean, two great resorts, you know, celebrating 10 years of marriage and just really enjoying each other. But man, you guys really, you got a lot of time in there. I was wondering, you said you were tired at the Magic Kingdom. No wonder, because you guys went to Extra Magic Hours that night, got up, did them the next day over at Animal Kingdom. A lot of good meals. Sounds like this trip was very much a success.
It was wonderful. And it was a love story, but not... Oh, wait, I'm just trying to throw in Taylor Swift songs.
Gotcha. That's what you do. Yeah, exactly. That's what we were doing tonight at dinner. Mallory's getting ready for the concert. Yeah, it's no bad blood there.
Exactly. So, yeah, it was fantastic, and look forward to the next trip at the lake.
All right. Well, don't forget, today's show brought to you by our friends over at The Wisdom of Walt. Two great books for the dads and grads out there. Jump on that. Be proactive. Visit thewisdomofwalt.com to see all the great specials. You can get a hard copy signed by author Jeff Barnes, a digital version, even an audio version. So check them out today over at thewisdomofwalt.com. Also support our friends over at touringplans.com. Steer clear of the crowds, especially as summer is coming up. The crowds are building. You want to know where to go when. So check them out today over at touringplans.com. Give us a follow on the social media. We're on Instagram and Twitter at Be Our Guest Mike. And we've got a great Facebook page at facebook.com/Be Our Guest Podcast. Again, sorry for some of the audio issues today. We're going to get that corrected for the next show, so we'll get back to that. But thanks for sticking with us. Great trip report today, James. Appreciate it. And we're going to get out of here and see you guys on Wednesday, where we answer more of your listener questions. So for James, I'm Mike, wishing you a great Monday. Time to head back to work, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.